Amen. Well, this evening we continue in our series in the book of Genesis, a series titled Jesus in Genesis. We're looking at the way in which this, the first book of the Bible, points to the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, the title of the message this evening is actually not what's printed in the bulletin. The title of the message this evening is God is with you. Lord willing, next week we'll consider the theme of the Lord will provide from Genesis 22. So this evening from Genesis 21, verses 8 through 34, the theme, God is with you. This is the word of the one true and living God. And the child grew, that is Isaac, and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of this slave woman shall not be heir with my son Isaac." And the thing was very displeasing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not displeased because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And I will make a nation of the son of the slave woman also, because he is your offspring." So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder, along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him, a good way off, about the distance of a bow shot. For she said, "Let me not look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy. And the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, "God is with you in all that you do. Now, therefore, swear to me here by God that you will not deal falsely with me or with my descendants or with my posterity. But as I have dealt kindly with you, so you will deal kindly with me and with the land where you have sojourned." And Abraham said, "I will swear." When Abraham reproved Abimelech about a well of water that Abimelech's servants had seized, Abimelech said, "I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, and I have not heard of it until today." So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech, and the two men made a covenant. Abraham set seven ewe lambs of the flock apart, and Abimelech said to Abraham, "What is the meaning of these seven ewe lambs that you have set apart?" He said, "These seven ewe lambs you will take from my hand, that this may be a witness for me that I dug this well." Therefore that place was called Beersheba, because there both of them swore an oath. So they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, rose up and returned to the land of the Philistines. Abraham planted a tamarisk tree in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned many days in the land of the Philistines. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him in prayer. O Lord, our God, we thank you that one of your many titles is Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for the testimony we heard from Paul Patrick of how you were with him at Clemson University and connected him into a ministry, a means of grace ministry, where you grew him in your grace and in Christ's likeness and equipped him for ministry in your kingdom. We thank you for the way in which you have been with students at Erskine College through the means of grace ministry of RUF Erskine and through Paul Patrick and his family. We just read of how you were with Ishmael in the wilderness and how you were with Abraham before Abimelech, prospering him and granting him success in the land of his sojourning. O Lord our God, our great prayer is that you would be with us now, granting us your Spirit that we might rightly attend to your word, and that you might transform us into the likeness of Christ, and that you might equip us for ministry in the wilderness of this fallen world. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, the last time we were together, brothers and sisters, in the book of Genesis, we read of the much anticipated fulfillment of the much promised, much repeated promise that God would provide a son to this aged couple, Abraham and Sarah. God remembered his promise and opened the womb of Sarah, and she, having known Abraham, bore a son. Sarah gave birth to Isaac at the exact time of the year that God had promised that she would. Moses was reminding the Israelites who were wandering in the wilderness of Sinai that their God was the promise-making and promise-keeping God. He had kept his promises to their father Abraham, and he would keep his promises to them as well. So the theme from 2 weeks ago was a promise kept. Tonight's theme is just as encouraging for us as God's covenant people. It's the theme of God's presence with his people. The point I want you to be reminded of and strengthened by tonight is that your covenant God is with you. He is with you as you sojourn in the wilderness of this fallen world. I want us to consider this theme as it comes to us in our passage this evening. First, I want you to notice the way in which God was with Ishmael in the wilderness of Beersheba. And Moses explicitly states this in verse 20. God was with the boy. God was with Ishmael in the wilderness. But let's back up to the top of our text to start. A few years have passed from the birth of Isaac to the point at which verse 8 continues the narrative. In other words, 2 or 3 years have passed from verse 7 of Genesis 21 to verse 8 of Genesis 21. We read in verse 8 of our text that Isaac grew up and was weaned. He grew and was weaned. Isaac was probably 2 or 3 years old, and Abraham threw a party. You may know this, but some people still have weaning parties today. Anybody here ever been to a weaning party or had a weaning party thrown for you? I've never been to one. My parents did not throw me one when I was 2 or 3. I have pictures from my 3-year-old birthday party, but it was not a weaning party. But here we have a weaning party thrown by Abraham for Isaac. But the party did not go off without a hitch. There was drama. There's sometimes drama at parties, particularly children's parties. We read in verse 9 of our text, "But Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, laughing." The Hebrew word for laughing is probably better translated as mocking. Ishmael was mocking or making fun of Isaac, whose name ironically means laughter. What Sarah saw made her angry. She did not want Ishmael and Hagar around anymore. She certainly did not want Ishmael vying for Abraham's attention, for Abraham's blessing, and certainly for Abraham's inheritance that she believed rightly belonged to Isaac. Abraham was displeased with Sarah's command to cast Hagar and Ishmael out. But God gave him permission to grant Sarah's wishes. God reminded Abraham that it would be through Isaac that his offspring would be named. In other words, Isaac, not Ishmael, was the son of the promise. But even though, and this is critical for us to note this evening, even though Ishmael was not the son of promise, God had promised to make of Ishmael a great nation. And so he promised to take care of Ishmael. So Abraham gave Hagar and Ishmael provisions and sent them away. But those provisions ran out in the wilderness. We mustn't miss the connection between the wilderness language here in Genesis 21 and the original audience of Genesis as they made their way through the wilderness of Sinai. Moses was reminding them that the God who would provide for Hagar and Ishmael in the wilderness of Beersheba would be the same God who would provide for the Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai as they looked to him in faith. Moses was saying, if God was with Ishmael, who was not the child of promise, how much more will he be with you, who are the children of promise? Hagar, without food and water, believed her child was going to perish, and she wept. But God was there. He had not forgotten his promises made to Hagar, his promises made about Ishmael. He heard the cries of Ishmael. Remember, the name Ishmael means God hears. And the angel said to Hagar, "What troubles you? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is." Anytime God or one of his servants says God has heard, that means God is about to act. God is about to provide. God is about to rescue. God is about to make over a promise previously given. The angel says, "Up, lift up the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make him into a great nation." We read of God's provision and presence beginning in verse 19. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. And the boy was, and God was with the boy. And he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. God was with this child of Abraham. Even though he was not the child of the promise, even though it would not be through this child that the Messiah would come, God had promised to make of Ishmael a great nation, and thus God did not abandon him to perish in the wilderness. God was with Ishmael, even Ishmael, even in the wilderness. So God was with Ishmael. But second, I want you to notice the way in which God was with Abraham. We read in verse 22, "At that time, Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, said to Abraham, 'God is with you in all that you do.'" Now, why did they say this? Well, you remember what happened back in Genesis chapter 20 when Abimelech took Sarah to be in his harem. And the Lord appeared to Abimelech in a dream and said to him, "Behold, you are a dead man." God warned Abimelech not to touch her. God literally put the fear of God into Abimelech. God demonstrated to Abimelech in a variety of ways. You remember that the Lord is the one true and living God, and that He was with Abraham. And so Abimelech says to Abraham, "Here, I've come to see that God is with you in all that you do. Promise to deal kindly with me and my posterity." And so this covenant is made. The place named Beersheba is chosen, which means well of oath. And there Abraham worshiped the Lord, the everlasting God. The Lord, the true and everlasting God, was with His servant Abraham so undeniably that Abimelech and Phicol sought His favor and blessing. They knew if they had Abraham's favor, they would have the Lord's favor. Years later, Abimelech and Phicol would deal with Isaac in the selfsame way. In Genesis 26 and 28, they said, "We see plainly that the Lord has been with you, so let there be a sworn pact between us, between you and us, and let us make a covenant with you that you will do us no harm. You are now the blessed of the Lord." What we see in both instances is a fulfillment of the promise given by God to Abraham way back in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3, wherein God said to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." Abimelech and Phicol had gotten the picture. They had gotten a window into this reality, and so they said, "We want to bless the people of God that we ourselves might be blessed." According to His covenant promises, the Lord was with Abraham. He was with Isaac. As you read on in Genesis, you see that He was with Jacob. If you read Genesis 39, you hear a refrain throughout that chapter that He was with Joseph. Even when Joseph was thrown into prison for a crime he had not committed, the Lord was with him and prospered him and granted him success in all that he did. So you see the Lord keeping His covenant promises to Abraham and his posterity. He was with them. There's no greater reality than to have the hand of the Lord with you. We've read of the apostolic ministry in the Sunday morning service in the book of Acts. The hand of the Lord was with them. That's our great desire. That should be our great intercession for the church of Jesus Christ, that the Lord would be with us and grant us success in all that we do as we look to Him in faith. The Lord was with Ishmael in the wilderness. In an even more profound and covenantal and saving way, He was with Abraham and his posterity. And finally, brothers and sisters, I want you to be encouraged tonight by the fact that this same covenant God is with you and me. He is with us because, by grace, we are children of the promise. As Paul puts it in Galatians 4 and verse 28, he says to the Galatian Christians, "You, like Isaac, are children of the promise." You are, dear Christian, by an act of God's free and unmerited favor, children of the promise of salvation made to Abraham, continued through Isaac, and ultimately fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ, whose name is Emmanuel, God with us. And one of the ways Emmanuel reminds us that He is with us and makes His presence known to us is through the feast that we're about to celebrate together. The God who provided water for Ishmael in the wilderness of Beersheba. The God who provided manna for the Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai is the God who provides you the bread and the cup to sustain and refresh you in the wilderness of this fallen world, as you seek to sojourn in faithfulness to Him in this wilderness. So let us draw near to this covenant God. He makes that wonderful promise If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. So draw near to Him, confessing your sin to Him, experiencing the cleansing blood of Jesus again. Draw near to Him in faith and partake of this provision for your sustenance and your refreshment, even as you sojourn in the wilderness of this world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.